Hello, this is Tudor Jones welcoming you to another revision podcast in the Parasitology Revisited series for BVM&S graduate entry and infection and immunity students. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about the coccidia, which are a group of intracellular protozoa affecting the gut and in some cases soft tissue. They're particularly important to the poultry industry, to sheep farmers, and to you and me as summer zoonotic. The principal feature of the coccidian life cycle is that it alternates between distinct phases of asexual reproduction and sexual reproduction, which ends up with the production of the oocyst stage, a characteristic feature of this group of parasites. The oocyst stage has a thick outer wall which allows it to survive for considerable periods in the environment and acts as the infective stage for other hosts. At this point, it'd be a good idea to remind ourselves of the difference between an oocyst and a cyst. An oocyst is the product of sexual reproduction, while a cyst is produced from an individual parasite which forms a thick outer coat so that it can survive outside the host, as in something like Balanitidium. So both cysts and oocysts enable the parasite to survive outside the host, but they are formed in very different ways. The simplest form of the coccidian life cycle is seen in those with a direct life cycle, such as Eimeria, Isospora, and Cryptosporidium, where all the different stages of the parasite are found in one host. The host becomes infected by ingesting infective oocysts containing sporozoite stages. When these arrive in the lumen of the intestine, the sporozoites break out of the oocyst, enter the mucosal cells of the gut, and undergo rapid asexual reproduction by schizogony, giving rise to multinucleate schizont forms. Within a few days of infection, each schizont gives rise to hundreds of merozoites, which go on to break out of the host cell and immediately invade neighbouring cells in the gut mucosa. After getting inside a new cell, the merozoites undergo a further phase of asexual reproduction, again producing merozoites by schizogony, which break out of the cell and infect other nearby cells. In most cases, coccidiosis, the name used for the disease related to infection with coccidia, is associated with a large-scale destruction of gut cells arising from the breakout of massive numbers of the merozoite stages during the early stage of infection. However, after two or three cycles of merozoite production, the parasite switches to its sexual reproductive phase. Now, instead of developing into the schizont form after entering the host cell, the merozoite transforms into either a single large macrogamete or, after a brief period of asexual reproduction, into a large number of tiny microgametes, each of which is essentially a nucleus with a flagellum. The microgametes break out of the host cell and swim to a cell containing a macrogamete. Once inside the cell, a macrogamete and microgamete combine to form a zygote, which then gives rise to an oocyst, which eventually passes out in the feces of the host. Most oocysts are passed from the host in an unsporulated form, so they are not immediately infective to other hosts. Most oocysts require a period of between 1 and 5 days outside the host before sporozoites form inside the oocyst, at which point they are infected to other hosts and start the cycle off all over again. Okay, that was the simple bit. And now I'm going to move on to thinking about the coccidia with indirect life cycles, such as Sarcocystis, Toxoplasma, and Neospora. As you know by now, indirect life cycles are more complicated to understand than direct life cycles, principally as more than one host is involved in the life cycle, and that these hosts are referred to by specific names, definitive or intermediate host, depending on how the parasite behaves in the host. You can listen to more about host types in my What's in a Name podcast, but briefly, the definitive host is the one where parasite sexual reproduction takes place, while the intermediate host is the one where any parasite reproduction is asexual. In the case of the coccidia with indirect life cycles, the parasite's development cycle is now split between the two host types, with, as you might expect, asexual reproduction taking place in the intermediate host, while sexual reproduction takes place in the definitive host. Most of the definitive intermediate host pairings for the coccidia with indirect life cycles are based on natural occurring predator-prey relationships, such as sheep and dogs in Sarcosis desovicanis, and cat and mouse as in Toxoplasma. In each case, the predator acts as the definitive host, with the prey acting as the intermediate host. However, some life cycles, such as that of Toxoplasma, are further complicated by the presence of accidental and dead-end hosts. To take you through a typical indirect life cycle, I'll start with the oocyst as the source of infection for the intermediate host. As in the direct life cycle, asexual reproduction takes place in the gut by schizogony, eventually producing tachyzoite forms, which migrate away from the gut via the blood and lymphatic system to the soft tissues, where they pass through several cycles of asexual reproduction and cell destruction. However, eventually asexual reproduction gives way to the formation of hyperbiotic bradyzoite forms within bradyzoite cysts, which are an important modification of the life cycle directly related to predator-prey transmission cycles. In some cases, such as Toxoplasma, we find that the parasite is able to change some aspects of host behavior to improve its chances of transmission. The bradyzoite cysts enable the parasite to remain in the tissues of the host for extended periods of time, while the parasite waits for the next step in its life cycle. This happens when the tissues containing the bradyzoite cysts are eaten by the predator. Once inside the gut of the predator, the bradyzoites are reactivated, invade the gut cells, and undergo one phase of asexual reproduction before producing gametes and oocysts, which are passed out in the feces and are the source of infection for the intermediate host. In the case of Sarcocystis, oocysts are past sporulated, so they are immediately infective. But in Toxoplasma, there is a 1 to 2 day delay before the oocysts become infective. Most of the health problems seen with the coccidia are related to the asexual reproductive phase. So in the coccidia with indirect life cycles, we would expect disease to be associated with the intermediate host, where the infection involves cycles of cellular destruction and migration prior to the bradyzoite formation. This is seen particularly in the case of accidental hosts of Toxoplasma, such as sheep and humans, where an infection acquired during pregnancy can lead to abortion in sheep and neonatal complications in humans, such as blindness in babies. As with all parasites, effective and sustainable control regimes for the coccidia depends on identifying where the life cycle can be interrupted to reduce or eliminate parasite transmission. In the case of the coccidia with direct life cycles, control regimes usually concentrate on reducing oocyst contamination in the environment, either by using coccidiostatic drugs or removing fecal material before sporulation takes place. An effective live vaccine against poultry coccidia is also now available. For coccidia with indirect life cycles, control usually concentrates on reducing the risk of infection to accidental hosts such as sheep and humans. For example, by keeping cats away from food stores, vaccination of sheep, educating humans in the need for safe disposal of cat feces, especially by pregnant women, not feeding uncooked meat to cats, and adequate cooking of meat for human consumption to prevent ingestion of viable bradyzoite cysts. So, that's a summary of the main points relating to this important group of parasites that you are likely to meet in veterinary practice, not only as an animal health problem, principally affecting birds, lambs, calves, dogs and cats, but also as an important zoonosis, potentially affecting you, your staff and your clients. Also, these are the kinds of things that I would expect you to provide in an answer to examination questions on the coccidia.